Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 86:11. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim his praises, who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim his praises, who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Children, please stand for Bible class. And I take it that you are already there. We open our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. We have a series of verses we're going to present to you at the beginning today and look at the subject which is presented to you in the bulletin. And that is that we have an emphasis in God's Word in relationship to the subject of evil. You will notice that we are emphasizing that evil is a satanic system. And we're going to be analyzing that subject for a few moments again today. We join together in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours to be here today. We thank you for your matchless grace. We're the recipients of grace in every area of life. Most of all, we're thankful today for the fact that we understand and are beginning to realize more completely how fantastic God's grace is in relationship to the subject of salvation. We know that the scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. We're thankful today that we have the assurance because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and because he's accepted us, we have the assurance that when the heart beats for the last time, we breathe our last breath on this earth, we'll be absent from this body, we'll be at home with our wonderful Lord and Savior. We're thankful for the opportunity to realize again that evil is satanic thinking, and that we have the responsibility of thinking God's thoughts, to be able to see things from a vertical, divine viewpoint, and not from a horizontal human viewpoint. We're aware of the fact that the more we study God's Word, the more we're able to comprehend the truth of your Word, the more it is that we're able to see and understand your wonderful plan for our individual lives. We're here today because we realize that you have graced us out to make it possible for us to be a recipient of your magnificent truths. We pray that these moments now that we're studying will be beneficial to all of us, that we'll be able to take the things we're learning and make application of them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I trust that you hold in hand today one of our church bulletins, the bulletin for today. We emphasize here Satan, a system to oppose. If you do not have this bulletin, I would like for you to have one. If you have it, please open, and we'll begin to look at some things here. I'm going to put on the screen some statements that I'd like for you to copy if you so desire. I believe it'd be worth your while to have these statements down. The first one that you see on the screen is, evil and degeneracy start with our thought pattern. We're going to pause and let you take some moments to look at these words. I'm going to go over them several times and to allow you to have some time to think with me about the subject matter. Evil and degeneracy start with our thought pattern. Walking in the Spirit and walking in the truth of God's message will bring protection to our souls. All of us as individuals, having been born into God's kingdom, must be aware of the fact that we're living in a time when we're confronted on every hand with a thinking that is not ordained of God. It is satanic thinking. We realize in recent days the definition of evil, and evil is satanic thinking. We realize that we have the opportunity to either have God's thinking on the one hand, or evil or satanic thinking on the other hand. So I want you to be able to see that evil and degeneracy start with a thought pattern. We've emphasized time and time again that walking in the Spirit and the Word of God and God's message will bring protection to our souls. When you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and verses 13 and 14, these verses are now being placed on the screen for you to see. It says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, a tiny little nursing baby. But solid food is for the mature, those who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern the difference between good on the one hand and evil on the other hand." If you don't have this verse marked and if you don't have it underlined, I would encourage you to do that. If you don't have it down somewhere, I would encourage you to write Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 in the margin of your Bible and look with me again at this magnificent and powerful verse. It says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness." God has designed for us a pathway of righteousness. We realize that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for our sins. We realize that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. In fact, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." It's a beautiful picture indeed when we see God's righteousness on the one hand and God's justice on the other hand. I trust that you've heard me say this enough over the last years, that we have to take a look at God's righteousness and God's justice. You'll notice in this verse of Scripture that I've just put on the screen, there is the word righteousness. Righteousness is simply telling us that God is a God of purity. God is holy and righteous and pure and sinless. We realize that when Jesus Christ left heaven's glory as the God-man on the earth, he too was sinless, perfect, pure. No sin whatsoever. So we discover that when Jesus Christ came on the scene as the God-man, he came on the scene as a perfect man. Sinless, pure, totally without any sin whatsoever. On the earth, he lived, as all of us know, a period of time, tempted in all points as we are, yet the Bible says, without sin. A picture of righteousness, then, is beautifully manifested in the members of the Godhead, Deity 1, the Father, Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, and Deity 3, the Holy Spirit. Take a look with me again at a triangle. At the top of that triangle is the Father, Deity 1. To the left, we see Deity 2, who is the pre-existent Christ, the eternal Christ. To the right, we see Deity 3, the Holy Spirit. All three members of the Godhead, Deity 1, 2, and 3, have the same attributes and the same characteristics. simply meaning that all of the things that you can attribute to Deity One, the Father, you can contribute also from the Bible to Deity Two and to Deity Three. That means then that you and I are able to see again this morning that the characteristics and the attributes of the Father are the characteristics and attributes of Deity Two, the pre-existent Christ, the eternal Christ, the one who came to the earth to be God in the flesh, which is the Theos Anthropos, the emphasis in the scripture on the fulfillment of God's plan for Jesus Christ to be the man on the earth. Righteousness, of course, emphasizes the fact of the purity and the total sinlessness of the members of the Godhead. I'm now emphasizing Deity Two on the earth, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and we have Him on the earth as the God-man without any sin, though tempted in all points, as the scripture says, without sin. It was this Deity Two who left heaven's glory and came to the earth as the God-man to go to the cross and die for you and for me. Righteousness is magnificent indeed. This verse of scripture says that everyone who partakes of milk, the bottle, spiritual milk, nothing wrong with that, but it says everyone who takes only of the milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Let me stop for a moment to remind you that when Jesus Christ came on the earth as the God-man, as I've already said now several times in the last few moments, purely, sinlessness, without any fault or failure, Jesus Christ was God's man on the earth, the God of righteousness. Righteousness is that characteristic related to God the Heavenly Father, the pre-existent Christ, and the eternal Christ, and the Holy Spirit. What is so magnificent is that we take a look at this and we discover that when we make our way into the Old Testament, we will discover that righteousness is a presentation of the glory and magnificence of the members of the Godhead, and I've just been mentioning those. Christ Jesus is a beautiful picture of total righteousness. Righteousness is that which you and I do not have, because when we were born physically alive and spiritually dead. That means that we stand in need of being the recipient of imputed righteousness. Righteousness, on the one hand, we need to see. On the other hand, there's justice. Justice is the word which tells us that sin has to be paid for. All of us are aware of the fact that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to the earth to pay for the sins of mankind, to pay for the sins of the world. So we have the total satisfaction of the Godhead, the members of the Godhead, the total satisfaction of the Heavenly Father through the work of Jesus Christ, satisfying the righteousness on the one hand and the justice of God on the other hand. Notice, if you will, please, this verse again. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is, or she is, a babe. Many times over the last 40-some-odd years, I have presented to you the meaning of that Greek word, babe. I want to present it to you again today. Most of you right now are saying it. It is the Greek word, napios, which means a nursing baby. If you want to spell it and write it out, it is N-E-P-I-O-S, napios. That Greek word, N-E-P-I-O-S, is the word which means a baby, a tiny baby, a nursing baby, a baby that's still nursing on a bottle. So we have an emphasis here upon the fact that a person who only, nothing wrong with milk, but only a person who is only taking from the bottle, that person is a napios, a babe, a nursing baby. On the other hand, verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 5 says, but solid food is for the advanced believer. I'm letting you see this on the screen for you to be able to see how fantastic and powerful this is. On the one hand, we see the one who is a baby believer. Nothing wrong with being a baby believer. In fact, it's fantastic to be a baby believer. But it is tragic for a person to remain a baby believer. In other words, a person should not remain a tiny little spiritual baby. And that's the reason why the writer of the book of Hebrews, by the Spirit of God, is saying here, solid food, spiritual advanced food, is for the advanced, mature believer. Now, what it explains for us here, and this is so fantastic, it explains to us how we become an advanced, mature believer. Look at it, if you will, please, these words. Because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. If you notice, I slowed down my tempo there because I wanted you to be able to see how fantastic this passage of Scripture is. It says solid food, more advanced biblical knowledge, is for the person who has been with it for a while, who's advancing, who's growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because of practice. The practice simply means consistency, stickability, staying with it. One of the tragic things that happens today among born-again believers is inconsistency. They're not willing to stay in study of the Word of God on a day-by-day basis. I can't imagine anyone making a decision that they would not eat any food on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and do this 1 week and then move into the next week with a determination not to eat any physical food. It would be very foolish indeed for a person to think that they're able to properly maneuver in life without physical food. And yet, in the spiritual realm, people who say that they've been born into God's kingdom, and I would accept maybe that they have, but they say, I can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 1 week into the next week, and no spiritual food. Can you see how this is not a practice? The word here is practice, which means consistency, determination, willingness to do what I'm hearing that our people here are doing. It's amazing to me and thrilling to me to know that when the Word of God is communicated here on Sunday and Wednesday night, even though people sometimes are not able to be present, and we know that they know the reason why they cannot be present, but they are willing every single day to get on the internet and find their way to the study of the Word of God. That's practice. The practice is a beautiful Greek word, which means the ability to cut things through and analyze them. I'm not going to get into the Greek word there, but I want you to see that the word practice simply means to be able to analyze and appreciate and receive consistently and faithfully the communication of the word. Practice. Have their senses trained to discern. And the word discern is the ability to see through, to understand, to comprehend, to be able to picture things, to take things like we heard this day, where you take the Word of God and you're able to see it. And you're able to actually put it into practice in your own thinking, and it becomes real, and it becomes something that is beneficial and profitable to you. Discern. But look at what it says here. This is so powerful. A person who is mature or maturing has the ability to comprehend and understand the difference between good, God's good, and then what does it say? Evil. And you have two Greek words. One of those words, we could present it in several ways. One Greek word is kalos. Another Greek word is agathos. And agathos is the word which means intrinsic good, God's good. A person who takes in truth, solid food, practicing, utilizing, deliberately receiving, has the ability then to comprehend and see the difference between God's good on the one hand and satanic thinking on the other hand. So often I can get so carried away that I have to remind myself to come back and remind you that I'm showing you a series of verses. Another verse is 1 Thessalians 5:22, which says, from every form of evil, abstain. I've already exegeted this verse with you. I'm not exegeting it again. I'm only reminding you of how powerful the verse is. 1 Thessalians 5:22 says, with the verb at the end of it, it says that we'll be benefited if we pay close attention to abstaining from those things which are evil. From every form of evil, turn away, abstain. And it is a verb in the imperative mood, which means a command. And it's in the middle voice, which says we'll be benefited if we do that. I'm sure that you see every Sunday in our bulletin we have verses translated, and they're also translated from the German translation. This particular verse from the German translation to me is very unique. King James, abstain from evil. But the German translation says, from all manner of evil, keep your distance. I smile when I read that, and I found it was very important when I saw it for the first time. When that verse came out on the bulletin from the German translation, from all manner of evil, keep your distance. That's 1 Thessalians 5:22, the German presentation. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What have we been saying over the last weeks? We'll continue in coming days to deal with the subject of evil. Evil is satanic thinking. What we've said, and we're going to repeat it again this morning, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for sin, but he did not die for evil. Because evil is a means and method of thinking. It takes people a while to let that soak through. In other words, to have a change of thinking, you have to receive a different type of thinking. Are you hearing me? In other words, if a person has satanic thinking, in order to get rid of satanic thinking, they have to be the recipient of God's thinking, which is a different method of thinking. That's the reason when you go to the 11th verse of 3 John, which I now put on the screen, it says, beloved, imitate not the evil, but the good. And the good there is agathos, God's good. And he goes on to say in 3 John verse 11, The one doing good, God's good, is out from the source of God. On the other hand, the one doing evil has not had the ability to have an overall view. And the Greek word is horao, which means horizon, like the sun coming up from one side and going over a horizon, a total view. This does not mean that the person has not been able to have a glimpse, and a beautiful glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, but a person here is presented as a person who does not have an overall view. And many people say they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They say they love God. They say they love the Bible, but they are not students of the Bible, so they don't have an overall view, a horao view, horizon view of God's plan for their individual lives. You have to let me apologize for getting excited. I want you to realize that when I look at words from the original language, and they just seem to get larger and larger, and then, this is my imagination, they get so large and then they just spring legs and they reach out and grab me. Do you understand what I mean by that? You've had that happen to you. There have been times when you've been reading or studying the Word of God, and it seems like it just got larger and larger and it grabbed you, and you became a participant within the framework of that particular meaning of that particular word. That's what I have here. Let me show it to you. Beloved, the word is imitate or mime in the Greek. Do not imitate that which is evil. Contrast, on the other hand, imitate, present middle imperative. You'll be benefited if you do it. Present tense, continue to do it. Imperative verb, it's a command to do it. Beloved ones, objects of my love, do not imitate the evil, satanic thinking. Contrast, Allah, but on the other hand, imitate, mime, the good. Then I have to stop myself and just kind of calm down a little bit, remove some of that emotional excitement, and let you begin to see what I'm seeing here. I'm looking at a word. And in the Greek language, I learned way back there, I can't even tell you how many years back, many, many years ago, I learned that the Greek word for doing is poieo, P-O-I-E-O. You didn't need to know that, but I wanted to know it because I wanted to share it with you. But I also learned that the Greek word for good is here, agathos. And what I'm seeing here is that there's a contraction of these two words. They're put together, agathos and poieo. And it's translated doing good. When I get over there to doing that which is bad, I find again the Greek word poieo, but I find a word that says bad. And so it's doing bad, doing evil, or on the other hand, doing good. I'm tempted to ask you, do you understand what I'm just saying? I want you to be able to see that this says, beloved ones, do not imitate that which is evil, satanic thinking, but imitate that which is divine thinking, vertical thinking, God's thinking. And then it goes on to explain to us the one doing good, the one who is practicing God's thinking, is out from the source of God. That makes sense, doesn't it? But the one doing evil has not had a long horizon look at God. They're not really fully as acquainted with God as they should be. I tell you what, You're the best listening audience in the world. Take your bulletin. I want to show you something. In your bulletin, it says, evil always perverts. Evil always misrepresents. Evil always twists and distorts and abuses and misuses God's thoughts. Now, if you have the bulletin, you need to do what I did. I took my red pen and I underlined this so that I could come here today and just lay out my bulletin and preach to you. Isn't that interesting? Now, let me read it to you. If you have it, you follow along. Evil always perverts, misrepresents, twists and distorts, abuses, misrepresents God's thoughts and God's plans for man. Then he says, since truth came before the false, then one objective of evil is to pervert truth. You can add something to truth that is false, and it becomes false. In other words, truth plus false is false. False plus truth is false. False plus false is false. Only truth plus truth is truth. Truth is God's word. So when you study God's word, truth of God's word plus truth equals truth. Now let me read on here. God's plan is distorted when man adds his thoughts. God's truth is distorted when man adds his ideas, his concepts, and plans. In fact, any human thought added to divine pollutes and degrades the divine. In fact, anything human added to divine pollutes and degrades the divine. All right. Now, if you're underlining, I trust you have a red pen. You ought to underline or highlight it in red. Sin is handled by confession. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's sin. Evil is handled by concentration. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word means to think, phroneo. Let this mind think, phroneo. And it's a present active imperative, second person plural. I've got it out here for you so you can see it. Then look down the page just a little bit. Concentrate means to ignore the irrelevant and to focus on the relevant. Now, do y'all understand what I'm trying to get over there? I'm talking about what's important and what's not important. Concentrate means, in this light, that we're to concentrate or present our thinking on those things which are important and eliminate the things which are irrelevant or not important. Concentrate means to ignore the irrelevant, to focus on the relevant, to be totally absorbed, undivided attention, regardfulness, heedfulness. In other words, we get away from Satan's thinking when we become possessed with divine thinking. Does that all make sense? That's the reason why Proverbs 16:6 says, by occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ, one avoids evil. Do you see how beautiful this is? By occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ, one avoids evil. Now I have a message on satanic entanglement. And I'm not going to give it right now. because you've listened so well, and I'm just through, just about through. Not that I'm through, but I'm going to stop. I know when to stop. When we get back to this, I want to deal with the fact that you and I must be aware that satanic thinking is gaining some momentum. Turn on your TV, pay attention, and you will be able to conclude that satanic thinking, evil, is gaining momentum. In this message, I will be dealing with the subject of how can you tell the difference. And I promise you, the only way that you and I can turn on the radio or turn on the television and know the difference is to have the thinking of God's Word. That's the reason why Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for listening so attentively and so carefully. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity to think about these things and to be aware of the fact that we have the responsibility of feeding our souls with those things which will give to us the ability to see the difference between that which is God's good on the one hand and that which is satanic thinking and evil on the other hand. As we come to the last minute of this service, we're aware of the fact that there may be someone by way of the internet hearing this message who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that they will be able to see today that when the Scripture says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life, that they would be able to see that God loves us so much and that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And that the Scripture simply says, any person, no matter who he is, what he's done, what she's done, the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be many right now who will accept you as their personal Savior. The Scripture so plainly says, if you have the Son of God, you have life. If you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. And the Scripture plainly teaches Jesus saying, I am the way, I'm the life, I'm the truth, and no one can come to the Father except through me. So that tells us very vividly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. Any person anywhere in the world right now can pray this simple prayer and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And you will not lie to them. You will not tell a story. You will tell the truth. Because you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.
Thank you.